Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WYLL AM 580 and FM 90.9, HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. The U.S. trade deficit plunged in January, that according to the Commerce Department today, which says it is at its lowest level in 6 years as a deepening recession cut demand for import goods. The Commerce Department said this morning that the trade imbalance dropped to $36 billion in January, a decline of 9.7% from December and the lowest level since October of 2002. The improvement was better than economists had expected and reflected the fact that crude oil imports dropped to the lowest point in 3 years and demand for a wide variety of other foreign goods from autos to heavy machinery and household appliances declined. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading at 71.82. It's up 12 points. The NASDAQ 1422 is down almost 4, and the S&P 500 is at 751, and it is up just under 1 point.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
The 2009 All-Day Agricultural Outlook Meeting is in the books. The second largest crowd in the event's 19-year history helped to make this year's event a success. Go to our website now at WILLAG.org for audio and analysis from the meeting. Our thanks to these agribusinesses who supported this year's event: ADM, Cargill, Bates Commodities, Strategic Farm Marketing, and Cadent EFG Risk Management Commodities. Joining us now with a look at the weekend weather forecast is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, Dave. And we are heading into the weekend on this Friday the 13th. Actually, pretty nice conditions across most of the growing areas in the U.S. Or, you know, not the greatest growing conditions, but it is good preparatory situations for the upcoming farming season, as the southern section of the country, which has been exceptionally dry, is getting a good rain. Mixed precipitation, rain, sleet, and snow falling from the southern mid-Atlantic region into heading up towards the southern portion of New England. Rain showers stretch from Texas into Alabama. Florida, however, remains warm and unfavorably dry. Across the Corn Belt, cool, dry conditions. Lowland flooding will continue in parts of central and eastern sections of the Corn Belt in the wake of the early March downpours and the saturated ground in the wake of the snowmelt that took place. But several days of dry weather, or at least light precipitation, will help that situation, the flooding situation. Across the plains, the beneficial precipitation will continue across southern portions of the region, especially in central and eastern Texas. Further north, a gradual warming trend will take place into the northern and central plains. And in the west, snow falling in the southern Rockies while warm, dry weather prevails in California. Another Pacific storm looks to be heading into the Pacific Northwest, and that could bring some substantial precipitation to that area. Over the next week to, I'll take it 10 days to 2 weeks, it looks like most of the country, most of the growing area, will see limited precipitation, below average precipitation, stretching all the way from the Four Corners region into the western portion of the Corn Belt, near normal precipitation expected in the eastern Corn Belt. The only areas expecting above average precipitation would be the Pacific Northwest, where one storm coming in, and in the northern portion of Wisconsin and across in through the Arrowhead of Minnesota, where they could see above average precipitation. As far as temperatures go, we may be starting to turn the page on the seasons, as across most of the country over the next 2 weeks, temperatures will start to trend towards above average, with really the bullseye of above average temperatures stretching from, again, just east of the Four Corners all the way in towards the Mississippi River Valley. And the only region expected to be below average would be in the limited agricultural region of the New England area. As far as the south of the equator, Argentina, South Africa, Australia, all continuing to experience generally favorable late summer crop conditions. There will be some crop development that will advance favorably while harvest progress advances around a few showers and thunderstorms. There may be a little bit more of a problem in Brazil, where rainfall could cause some interruptions into the harvest progress over the next week to 10 days. Looks like the greatest rainfall and highest frequency of occurrence will occur from Mato Grosso into Sao Paulo and southern Minas Gerais. Fieldwork will be slowest in those areas. Generally, again, decent conditions as far as the soil moisture, and with the exception of the interruptions into the harvest going on in Brazil, things will be relatively quiet. Again, the big story may be the precipitation coming into Texas, and they can certainly use all that rain. That will start to change over as you get into the northern portion of that area into some freezing or mixed precipitation, and it looks like the March 20th through 26th period will generate a strong warming trend initially, followed by a significant cooling, but there does not appear to be any risk of damaging cold for at least the next 10 days. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola. Enjoy your weekend.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City May wheat opened at 573, down 3, last trade up 1. At the Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 513, down 2.25, last trade down 2.25. May, 524.25, down 3/4, last trade up 1/4. July, 536.75, down 1/2, last trade up 2.75. March corn opened at 375.75, down 1, last trade down 1.75. May, 383.25, down 2, last trade up 1.5. July, 393, down 2.5, last trade up 1. December, 414, down 3/4, last trade up 1.75. March beans opened at 898, down 1, last trade down 1. May, 883, up 1, last trade up 3/4. July, 882, up 1/2, last trade up 3/4. November, 841, down 1/2, last trade up 4.5. May soybean meal opened at 276.80, up 30, last trade up 170. May soybean oil opened at 30.38, unchanged, last trade up 7. Joining us now on the telephone is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. She is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, I want to start with the U.S. dollar today and then take it back to the charts. And I want to ask you, if the dollar breaks below 87, what's it worth in November beans and December corn?
If the dollar breaks below 87, it's probably worth, I would have to say, depending upon if it follows through and goes down into the 82, 83 area, which is what I would expect we'd probably see, it's got to be worth about 30 to 40 cents on corn and probably 50 to 70 cents on beans.
And at that point, you would be recommending some hedges, I would imagine.
Oh, no question about that. In fact, it's difficult. I've actually been recommending doing some hedges right at this point in time. We've had a really nice rally going on here. We have broken through some major resistance, and you know we'll see once what happens during the day today as to whether or not we can hold those numbers. But I think if you've done nothing, you should at least, if you don't want to go out and do it in cash, you should certainly be looking at either doing some puts, you know, getting some type of protection in place. And with the good basis levels that we've had, especially on people holding old crop, you know, I think that you have to get out there and either do a basis contract and be very careful to make sure that you're watching the futures close, because a good basis contract is only good as long as the future price stays good. But I think there's time right at this point in time to take some action also.
Would this up market last about another week or so, and then heading into the crop, the planting intentions report, we might go sideways to a little bit lower?
I would have to think that I would be probably more inclined to say we could go somewhat higher, but then it's going to be mostly a sideways trade. And, yes, I think we could go lower. Today will be a big day because of the fact that everybody's waiting to see what Informa has to say at 10:30. They're more or less the benchmark when we go into the 31st report. Now, you know, last time they came out, they said we were going to have 82.7 million acres of corn and 80.8 million acres of beans. Everybody's anxious to find out just exactly what they're going to say today.
So let's go ahead and get the calls for the morning before Informa's report comes out.
Yeah, I'm calling corn, flat to up one, beans 2 to 4, wheat down 1 to up 2, and when you look to cattle, firm on cattle and higher on hogs.
Oh, what's going on there that gives them a little bit of upside momentum?
Well, we've really seen some tremendous move in the hog market in the last 3 days, $3.44 of movement. We're seeing some better cash. We still have big inventories, but it's just been a correction in the marketplace. On the cattle side of things, we've saw better cash prices. Cutout prices have been better. And so it gives some momentum and some pushback into the marketplace.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome, Dave. Thanks.
You're welcome. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana.